Praying the rosary is a very well-known practice in Catholicism. However, that particular approach in prayer did not exist in the church for over 1,000 years. Is there relevance to it? Is it wrong? Is it right? Find out on this episode of Revealing the True Light.
There are so many religions in the world. How are they similar? And how are they different? We need to know. The culturally correct view is to blend them all together as equally relevant and legitimate. But is that true? Prior to becoming a follower of Jesus, your host, Mike Shreve, was an avid seeker of truth, exploring many paths to spirituality. One of his passions now is to help bridge the gap so that others can discover the true light, which gives light to everyone entering the world. Now, here's Mike Shreve, revealing the true light.
Growing up Catholic, I prayed the rosary many times, especially when I became an altar boy. It was a daily occurrence. My wife loves to preserve memories from the past. In fact, she made a shadow box picture of me as an altar boy, and there my rosary is. That's probably 60 years old. There my rosary is that I used every day to pray according to that set pattern. And so it was a very beloved practice to me and to members of my family. My grandmother was just a beautiful Christian believer. She was very, very Catholic, and she prayed the rosary every day. And I believe she had a personal relationship with Jesus, because on her deathbed, her last words to my father were, "Andy, I'll rise with Jesus." I believe she knew the Lord. And I believe there are many thousands of Catholics who do actually have a personal relationship with Jesus. However, at the same time, I believe there are many Catholics who have not experienced being born again, and they've not been taught the relevance and importance of that particular encounter with the Lord in order to have a real connection with Him in prayer. So that's another issue, though, for another episode, what it is to be born again. But on this episode of Revealing the True Light, we're going to focus just on the rosary. And first, I believe I should describe what it is to you. As you noticed, it's a long cord or string or wire with beads on it. There's actually 59 beads on the rosary. It starts with the crucifix, and then you have a single bead on which the Our Father is prayed, then three individual beads on which Hail Marys are prayed, and then another single bead where you pray the Our Father, and another prayer called the Glory Be prayer, and I'll quote those in just a moment. And then you have five decades or groups of 10 beads on which each one of those beads is a time when you're supposed to pray the Hail Mary prayer. So the total is 59 beads. And as you can see, prayer to Mary is emphasized. In fact, on my rosary that I just showed you a few moments ago, there is a depiction of Mary right before the five decades of beads where her prayer is to be prayed. Let me go ahead and quote those prayers to you so that you'll know what I'm talking about. In the book, The Beliefs of the Catholic Church, in the appendix, I have all three of those prayers in their completeness. First of all, the Our Father prayer, well, most people are familiar with that, most Christians especially, and even non-Christians are familiar with the Our Father prayer that Jesus gave in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. And the version I'm speaking is the New Catholic Bible version of it. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And recently the Pope changed that to something like, do not let us fall into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Then the Glory Be prayer goes like this. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. And then the Hail Mary prayer goes like this. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. So there you have it. Those three prayers are the three prayers that normally are associated with the rosary. Now, there's a few other prayers that sometimes people use, but those are the primary ones. So, what are the reasons I do not believe in practicing this ritual any longer? First and foremost, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, Jesus taught against repetitious prayer. And ironically, he made this statement right before he presented the Our Father as a method of prayer. And I'll get to that more in just a moment. But in Matthew 6, 7, he said, when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. And that's a common practice among Hindus, among Buddhists, among Muslims. The use of a rosary or the use of beads, rather, not a rosary, but the use of beads, is a common practice among those particular religions. And they repeat the prayers over and over and over again to rack up a certain amount in order to somehow achieve a certain prayer goal more effectively. But Jesus said, don't use that kind of method like the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. When I was involved in yoga at the age of 18 and 19, we used to chant mantras over and over again, hundreds of times, thousands of times, the same words repeated over and over again. But at that time, our concept of God was that God was on the highest level, a force, an impersonal deity that could be manipulated and controlled and channeled, so to speak, by the right kind of incantation. And the more you quoted it, the more you said it, the more you kind of built up this power that could be released through the chanting of mantras. But Jesus said, don't do things like the heathen do. And then he gave the Our Father. But I want you to notice that when he gave the Our Father, he said, not pray these exact words over and over repetitiously. He said, pray in this manner or according to this pattern. See, I use the Our Father sometimes as a basic outline of an approach to God, but I don't say it the same way every single time I approach God. I don't repeat it 10 times in prayer. I may slowly go through the various points in the Our Father and then fill it in with spontaneous, heartfelt, creative expressions. For instance, I may say, oh, Father, you dwell in heaven. Hallowed is your name. Holy is your name. Your name is El Shaddai, the Almighty God. Your name is El Elyon, the Most High. Your name is Yahweh Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. And Father, I thank you for the impartation of righteousness. I use it as a basic pattern and then go through those various steps in that prayer, but then enter into that basic outline that is, as I said, heartfelt, spontaneous, and creative. And that's the way prayer should be, because we would never attempt to communicate with a fellow human being by repeating the same statement 59 times or however many times, say, the Hail Mary prayer is prayed with the rosary, and that's 53 times. You would never ask your husband, for instance, to take out the garbage in a very repetitious way, 53 times, one time after the other. By the time you got to 6 or 7 and he was still sitting in his easy chair, you'd say, okay, I'll just do it myself. Or something more argumentative may happen. Hopefully not. But you get my gist. You get what I'm trying to communicate. You don't use repetition like that to coerce or persuade a fellow human being to do something. Conversation is an intelligent flow of language where one person communicates to another person what a desire is, what a request is, and the other person responds. And that's what prayer is supposed to be, a flow, a heartfelt flow of communication to God. Well, that's my number one reason why I do not pray the Hail Mary, because Jesus taught against repetitious prayer. Number two, and this is what really should be the most persuasive argument of all, is the mind-boggling logistics of how Mary especially would have to process these prayers. Now, the Hail Mary dominates the rosary. As I said, 53 times of 53 beads, you're to pray the Hail Mary. Well, just suppose that 1/10 of all Catholics worldwide pray the Hail Mary in one day, just one day. And I think that's pretty believable. There's 1.3 billion Catholics in the world, so 1/10 is 130 million. Now, in order to get all the statistics, you've got to multiply, therefore, 130 million by 53 Hail Marys being prayed. And you'll find out that equals 6,890 million Hail Marys prayed in one day. Now, if you want to break it down further and find out how many are being prayed each minute, then you've got to divide 6,890,000,000 by 1,440 minutes in a day. You know what you come up with? 4,784,722 times someone is saying the Hail Mary prayer, almost 5 million times every minute. Now, quite often, when Catholics pray the rosary, they have a specific request in mind regarding a specific location or a specific person or a specific prayer they want answered involving situations in their lives. So Mary would have to be personally involved in every one of those 4,784,722 prayers being prayed every minute. Almost 5 million people talking to her each minute to process that many conversations. Can you imagine almost 5 million people talking to you at the same time? Now, my wife is a multitasker, and she can talk to a half a dozen people at the same time and keep all those conversations flowing. I do well to focus on one person at a time unless I'm in the pulpit doing all the talking. But no one could process that many conversations at once. For Mary to do it, she would have to be omnipresent and she would have to be omniscient, which are attributes only God has. Only God is everywhere all the time. That's his omnipresence. And only God has all knowledge. That's his omniscience. And in order for Mary to fill this role, she would have to have those attributes that I believe only belong to the Creator himself. Otherwise, the praying of the rosary is just absolutely futile because she could never process that many requests. Number three, the third reason I do not pray the rosary is this. Now, let me repeat the prayer again. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. So every time that a Catholic prays the Hail Mary prayer, they are confessing their status, their entitlement as being a sinner. But the Bible doesn't speak very well of those who are called sinners. There's two groups differentiated in the Bible. You have sinners and you have saints. And the word saint has a triune meaning. It means one who is cleansed of the defilement of sin, one who is separated from the world, and one who is consecrated to God. A saint is someone who has been sanctified. And sanctification is defined just like what I just shared. You're cleansed from the defilement of sin, separated from the world, consecrated to God. And then you become a saint by biblical standards. And I have an article about that on our website, twocatholicswithlove.org. But let me give you just a couple of locations, a couple of verses in the first psalm where sinners are referenced. The first verse starts out, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners." In other words, you don't hang out with sinners. Blessed is the man. The word blessed means happy, supremely happy, enriched with benefits, spiritually prosperous. So you're blessed by God if you don't hang out with sinners. Then verse 5 of the same psalm, Psalm 1, says, "Sinners will not stand in the congregation of the righteous." So they're excluded from fellowship with God and excluded from the eternal congregation of the righteous in heaven. You don't want to confess yourself a sinner. It's like an Alcoholics Anonymous. They have a practice of having people stand up and confess, "I am an alcoholic," or "I am a drug addict," or whatever the case may be. Well, that's just solidifying the problem. And you don't want to confess that you are a sinner. You're a saint. Because all those who have been sanctified by the blood of Jesus qualify to be saints. And another side issue too. Remember, the prayer was, "Pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen." Well, how many people die in a day? And how many of those who die are Catholics who have prayed the rosary? Well, let me give you some more statistics. Again, there's 1.3 billion Catholics in the world, but... And you can look up these statistics online. The world presently is teeming with about 8 billion people worldwide, and about 16.25% of that population is Catholic. So about 165,000 people die every day. So if you pick out 16.25% of that number, 165,000 people dying, that means 26,800 Catholics die every day. And Mary has got to be personally involved in their passing from this world to the next, almost 30,000 people every single day. How could she be aware of all of that? And how she could she be personally involved in that unless she's on a level that only God exists on? Okay, next. The fourth reason I do not pray the rosary. Usually a serious Catholic who prays the rosary, also couples it with meditating on the mysteries. With each decade, you have one of five mysteries that you're supposed to meditate on, dwell on, think on, ponder about, as you're praying the rosary. And those mysteries are the joyful mysteries, the sorrowful mysteries, the glorious mysteries, and the luminous mysteries. And most of them are about the life of Jesus, certain very important events, critical events in his life, like the resurrection, the crucifixion, the annunciation of the birth of Jesus to Mary, and things like that. So those are mysteries I would agree with. But in the glorious mysteries, there are two that I don't agree with and I do not believe are biblical. The fourth mystery concerns the assumption of Mary, that at the end of her life, after she died, she was assumed up into heaven in an Elijah-like fashion. She was taken up into the celestial world. There's nothing in the Bible to indicate that. And it wasn't established as an irrefutable truth in Catholicism by a papal decree that's considered to be infallible until 1950. Think of that. Now, of course, it was a belief in the church for hundreds of years, and some people agreed, some disagreed within Catholicism for many, many centuries, but it was finally solidly declared to be dogma in 1950. That's not so long ago. And that's the assumption. And also, the fifth glorious mystery is Mary's status as the Queen of Heaven, based on Revelation chapter 12. Now, I believe that the Bride of Christ is the Queen of Heaven, but the belief in Catholicism is that Mary is the Queen of Heaven, and she was declared as the Queen of Heaven through an encyclical decree by Pope Pius XII in 1954. Although it was a belief that was contested and discussed for many centuries prior to that. Finally, number five, the fifth reason that I do not pray the rosary is I understand its origin. Most people believe that the rosary can be traced to a Castilian Catholic priest named Dominic. And there's a story that goes along with it, and I go into a lot of detail in the book, The Beliefs of the Catholic Church. But he claimed to have a vision of Mary in 1208 AD. Now, this is over 1,000 years from the birth of the church in this world on the day of Pentecost. And this is the account of the vision he claimed to receive, where Mary communicated to him that he should cause this to become a traditional practice in Catholicism, and of course, something that he would do personally. Ancient accounts tell us that after 3 days of prayer and fasting, well, why was Dominic praying and fasting? Because this group called the Albigensians were promoting a false heretical doctrine in France, and they were also warlike, and they were taking over territory in France, and they had about 30,000 soldiers, and Dominic had only about 1,500 soldiers to fight against them. And the Albigensians believed that everything material was evil, and only that which was spiritual was good. And, of course, that's not true. That's not biblically true. So anyway, he spent a lot of time praying that God would give him the victory over this superior force. And he supposedly had this visitation. Ancient accounts tell us that after 3 days of prayer and fasting, three angels appeared in the sky along with a ball of fire. When they disappeared, the Virgin Mary spoke, telling the priest that he must preach her Psalter, which was a name for something similar to the rosary where 150 prayers to Mary were uttered, that he must preach her Psalter in order to succeed in his struggle to overcome the Albigensians. All right, so he creates the rosary. And because he did defeat that superior force, then that gave it some validity in the eyes of people, and so it became a tradition. And I don't believe that's sufficient to prove that it's a practice that God would approve of, considering all the other things that I've mentioned. Did Dominic have an actual vision of Mary? No, I don't believe that was a true vision, because I don't believe Mary would have told him to do something that is contrary to the Word of God. Because, see, in the Bible, it cautions us not to try and contact the dead, whether it be Elijah, who was translated into heaven, or other saints in the Catholic Church who have gone on to the heavenly world and exist in a spiritual state. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 18, verses 9 through 13, there's a couple of statements in there where God said it's an abomination to try and contact the dead, whether they're Catholic saints or just any other persons that have passed on to the next world. No, I do not believe that this is a practice that God wants us to implement in our prayer lives. And for these five reasons, it's been over 53 years since I've prayed the rosary, and I don't intend to ever pray it again. And I would urge you to consider these issues that I brought up and see if you don't agree with me. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you for joining Mike Shreve today on Revealing the True Light, and thank you for opening your mind and your heart to the truth. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, cpnshows.com, or wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss new episodes. You can explore the beliefs of many world religions more deeply by ordering Mike Shreve's book titled In Search of the True Light. We also invite you to visit our website, thetruelight.net, and sign up to be part of our global internet family.